Good morning, everyone. So I'm going to start off this talk with a few questions for the audience to help me, you know, establish a foundation. So here we have a picture of some dental instruments. And so I'm curious, how many of you have been to the dentist in your lifetime? Pretty much everybody in the room. So let's go on to the next one. Public speaking. How many in the audience have had the opportunity to speak in front of a large audience? Well, almost everyone, still doing pretty well. All right. And now, SharePoint 2007 or SharePoint 2010 development. How many folks in the room have had experience developing for either of these platforms? Okay, so there's a few people who are going to know some of the things that I'm about to talk about. So what do you think, for the people who've actually experienced all three, can you give me some ideas of some of the things that these three things have in common? I heard pain. And what?
Panic.
Fear. Anything else?
Uncertainty.
Anything positive? Sorry?
Glad when it's done.
They're glad when it's done. All right. So there's not a lot of fans of SharePoint in this audience, but you guys came to a talk on SharePoint, so I'm going to give you a good talk about it and actually show you some of the positive aspects of it, both in the past as well as in the future. Hi, my name is Sean Labrie, and I'm the lead program manager on the Visual Studio team that works on the Office and SharePoint tools. So I've worked on Visual Studio for about 10 years, and about January of last year, I got, with no prior SharePoint development experience, I was offered a job to take the lead PM spot on SharePoint tools. And I said, sure, that sounds like fun. And I said, but can I delay my joining of the team by a few days, because I have to have my wisdom teeth out. And my boss was like, that'll be fine, just as long as you're able to go and speak at this conference about SharePoint development later that month. So January of last year was actually quite the month for me as I ramped up on SharePoint development and dealt with all those things that we had in the opening. So I heard a lot of pain in the audience talking about SharePoint development. And so in my first few months on the job, these are the kinds of the things that I ran into as pain points that were coming from the customers. Well, the first was I had to get my machine set up for SharePoint development. SharePoint requires a lot of expensive hardware, either 4 gigabyte or 8 gigabyte machines, and you probably wanted a dual core processor, probably quad core, if your company would be, you know, willing to pay for all that. And installing it on a client operating system, well, really, from most things that you wanted to do with SharePoint, you really wanted to have that server operating system and you wanted to have that power. But as a developer, I really want to be able to just, you know, use the box that I normally use, and that's normally a client machine. And if I'm going in a laptop, installing a server operating system on that is not really the friendliest. And so you ended up doing a lot of development of SharePoint running in a virtual machine on a laptop, which required even more beefy hardware requirements. SharePoint required a lot of complex XML editing. Almost everything in SharePoint is defined in some custom XML format or schema. How many folks have had to deal with the difficulty of deploying or upgrading a SharePoint site? Okay, a handful. Well, one of the things that made the deployments, especially the upgrades, really difficult is the custom solutions that you have developed for SharePoint had created this custom setup in that deployment. And so migrating it from the current version to the next version would often fail in some new and unexpected ways. And it was really hard to figure out what was going on, whether it was an issue with configuring SharePoint or whether it was an issue with your custom solution. And so there was a lot of pain there as well. In SharePoint 2010, we introduced this concept of sandbox solutions. And what these do is that they were actually a way to protect SharePoint from the custom development solutions that you'd put on the box. And that was a great solution for protecting SharePoint, but as a developer, it left you in a very limited situation where you didn't have access to all the things on SharePoint that you would want. And if you're an enterprise wanting to have a custom solution for your enterprise, you end up spending quite a bit of money on expensive consultants in order to in order to really get that custom-tailored solution that you needed. So now, I've talked about why SharePoint is painful, but I saw a bunch of hands go up earlier that said that they've done SharePoint development. So with all this pain, why are people doing SharePoint development? The answer is clear. SharePoint has incredible momentum. These figures I took from what we announced at the SharePoint conference held in Las Vegas last November, but they're still really current. We have over 125 million licenses of SharePoint sold worldwide. And if you look at the current active licenses, over 50% of them were upgraded to the latest version of SharePoint at the time that these statistics were taken. Now, if you've been following the press this morning, you'll notice that we've announced Office 365 Home Premium is now available for folks. And so that's one instance of the new version of SharePoint that's available. And I'm going to get into talking about Office 365 and SharePoint 2013 in a minute. But anyways, incredible adoption of SharePoint 2010. SharePoint itself has also moved from being what we would consider a departmental app, where a couple of guys decided that they wanted to install SharePoint on their box so that they could collaborate as a team, share documents, and have some small integrated processes, to being something that is more commonly deployed enterprise-wide. In fact, in over two-thirds of the cases where SharePoint is installed in an organization, it is now installed across the company, available for everyone to use. And so it's now become the domain of IT admins. SharePoint has a lot of active usage. If you have people at your company who are using SharePoint, they are over 50% of them are likely to be using it on a daily basis. They may not be using it the whole day, but they at least they find it business critical for them to go visit it, to look up some documents, to interact with some business processes. With all these licenses and all these users and all these organizations, we maintain an active community of over 700,000 SharePoint developers. And this statistic was taken from the 12 months leading up to the SharePoint conference, which is an incredible number in the software industry. All these things together have led to SharePoint being the fastest growing server in Microsoft history. So now I've made the case for SharePoint development as being something that we would want to target because there's a good market there. I've still got a lot of the pain. So what are we doing about it? So with the current, with Office 365 and SharePoint Server 2013, I think that we've actually got a giant step forward on five fronts that you guys are all going to be able to take advantage of. First, we've introduced the concept of the Office Store, which is a marketplace where companies can go and find off-the-shelf solutions for both Office and SharePoint for installation into their sites or into their Office documents. And so you're going to see that if, as a company that has SharePoint, you're going to get a lot of value because you're going to be able to go up to this marketplace and buy relatively cheap business applications that will meet a lot of your common needs. At the same time, we've improved the management of apps in Office 365 and on SharePoint Server. So I'm going to go into a bit in the few minutes, but basically we provide IT admins with really a good way to control what apps get installed, who gets access to licenses, and making sure that the app is not interfering with SharePoint itself. We also are introducing this concept of Office 365 developer sites. So one of the big pain points that I talked about earlier was the machine requirements for doing SharePoint development. Now, with an Office 365 developer site, you can actually develop a new app against that remote site from a machine that basically meets the minimum requirements of Visual Studio 2012. And so it's a lot better story if you're developing apps. The new cloud app model is a reboot or a rethinking of the way you do SharePoint development. It's optimized for web development. It's optimized for making sure that the SharePoint itself is able to scale, and that apps are isolated from one another. And so we'll get into a lot of this in the following moments. And finally, I'm here to announce some of the changes that we've made to our continuous integration in the SharePoint space that'll make it even easier for you guys to do a continuous integration for SharePoint. So as I was talking about just a moment ago, the Office Store for IT admins and for end users is a great marketplace where you can go and find off-the-shelf solutions for your common business needs. And I just took a random screenshot from the Office Store as it was yesterday. But you can see that there's a lot of different business applications that are already popping up in the marketplace, even though our availability has just been starting over the last few months. It's also an incredible opportunity for developers who have SharePoint development experience or web development experience to actually go and create a business solution that not just applies to one customer or one site, but actually to be able to sell it to the millions of SharePoint and Office licensees around the world. And so we hope that we'll create a much better marketplace with this. So now, I've talked quite a bit about kind of the introductory concepts. I think one of the best ways to actually get your head around what an app is, what's new in Office 365, is actually to go and demo it. So here I have an Office 365. This is a standard Office 365 site, and I'm actually logged into my SharePoint site. And you can see that the UI has been refreshed from SharePoint 2010, but it's still a lot of the same concepts you have. You know, like there's the ribbon, there's a navigation, it has the ability to store documents. It's all pretty much feels very similar, but the look and feel has been polished and updated. One of the aspects of that is going to become more useful in SharePoint 2013 is the All Site Contents page. This is this for end users is where they go to discover and acquire apps that have been made available to them either within their corporation or that's already on their SharePoint site. So, and we consider a lot of different things to be apps. So for example, document libraries, form templates, site assets. These are things that were on SharePoint before, but now they're considered apps. They're things that you would add to your SharePoint site and things that you would interact with. I've installed some third-party apps, such as the Adlib PDF Publisher, the Map app, or the Nintex Workflow Online. These are apps that are available in the marketplace today. And I'm actually going to go and click into the Adlib PDF Publisher to give you an idea of the experience of working with an app. And so what this actually allows me to do is it allows me to select some documents. And I have my ALM demo script here. And what I can do is select it, click play. And what it's going to do is it's going to send off my document to a service or it's going to run some custom code that's actually going to convert my Office document into a PDF for me. And if I look at the settings, I'm going to see that it's going to put it in my document library. So just give it a few seconds. Well, why don't I just go back to the document library and wait for it to arrive? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to my home, and then I'm going to go to the document library, and you can see that just a few seconds ago that PDF was created in my document library. So you can see how you can get that really integrated feeling with an app with your document library. In fact, what I could also do is say select a different document, say my demo script for a SharePoint conference. Click on this menu in the ribbon bar for Adlib and say, I want to add that to publication. And that's another entry point into this app. And it can say, OK, that document has been added. Now I want to go manage the publication. I can go press play. And again, I've queued up another one to go and get converted. So that's an example of one app that shows off some of the functionality that you'd want to have on SharePoint. Now let's go through the experience of what it would be to actually acquire that app as an end user from something that was already available on my SharePoint site. So what I'm going to do is I'm clicking on Add an App in the All Site Contents. And I can see that there's a bunch of apps that my IT admin has made available to me. So I can see that there's a CSV uploader, there's the world clock, a location mapper, Facebook integration. There's a whole bunch of apps that can be made available to users, and the IT admins are in control of what's available here. So what I'm going to choose is the world clock, just because, and weather, just because I want to be able to go modify my home site to show you some live content. So what that's doing right now is it's downloading the app off of the app catalog that was maintained internally and installing it on the SharePoint site. These sometimes take a few seconds to finish, but once it's ready, I'll just give it a second. Once it's ready, what I want to do is then take that world clock and I want to go and add it to one of my site pages. So there we go. I have the world clock and weather. It's now available. I got the little new banner on it. And I can look up the terms and conditions. I can look at the licenses for it. Right now, this is a free app, actually, this is a free app, so there's nothing to really worry about with the licensing here. So now I'm going to go and add it to my home page so that I can always see what the weather here is. So I go in, click page, click edit, and then on the insert menu, you'll see that I have the standard web part, which is the client web parts, those for those of you who've done SharePoint development in the past are familiar with. And now we've actually created a separate category called app part for the ones that are more managed, and just to give you an idea that this is actually coming from an app. And so I'm going to click on the world clock and weather, click add, and you can see that the content is going to show up in my SharePoint site. Oops. Let's see if that loads. All right, and then you can go and now that it's added, I can go and interact with it, and I get live content coming from that app and appearing as part of my SharePoint site. Behind the scenes, what this is actually hosting is an iframe, and this content is coming from the third party's website. And because of the isolation in the apps, there actually is some safety here in that the app really can't access any of the data on SharePoint without first having requested permission to have that access. And so I can go and install this trivial app without having to worry about it taking over my SharePoint site. That's not something you could have done with our previous solutions in the farm and sandbox world. So now that we've seen kind of the end user experience of acquiring an app and installing it, I'm going to switch over and show you the management aspects of it. So this is your SharePoint Admin Center, and it allows you to get an overview of your site collections. This is very similar to what functionality was there in the previous version. But one of the key things that we've gone and changed is that you now have the ability to go and really manage your apps. And so you can go into this UI and manage the licenses. So here you can see as all of the different apps that I, as an IT admin on this site, have made available for my users. And you'll notice that I've only made the free ones available because it's just for demo purposes. But I can actually go to my app catalog, and I can see where one of the users has said, hey, I want to get this survey response tool. And when I go and review it, I can actually find out that this costs $3 per user. So I'm going to think twice about whether I want to install that. But you know, if you're going to think about building your own survey tool, it's going to cost you a lot of money. So $3 per user is probably not a bad deal. The other thing you can do from this tab is it launches you into the SharePoint store. Oops, where you can actually see all of the apps that are available on the Office store and the SharePoint store for purchase. And so, let's see, I can go in, say, the anniversary timeline, read about it, understand, hey, that it has, it has some permissions. And then if I click add it, what it allows me to do is it allows me to add it to my SharePoint site. Now, I'm in private mode, and so I've lost my credentials from when I last logged in. Let's see. I'll just log in again. But now I should be able to go and add it to the site and make it available for my users. Oops. So now I can go return to my site. And if I actually go to manage my licenses, I can see that this application has now appeared, the anniversary timeline has now appeared for my users. So that's a bit of the experience for managing apps and being able to monitor them. So now I'm going to switch back to talking about the Office 365 developer sites. Before, setting up SharePoint used to be a complex and difficult process. I think I was able to do it, get it, my development box configured in about 5 hours, and that was a record for me. And so with the Office 365 developer sites, we've really transformed things quite a bit. You can actually go up to the URL dev.office.com and sign up for a developer site in about 15 minutes, probably 10, that SharePoint site would be ready for you to do development against. Now, this Office 365 developer site is actually a streamlined version or trimmed down version of the full Office 365. It is really meant only for development purposes and doesn't have all of the full functionality that you would expect from a full Office 365 subscription. So definitely don't think that this is a full-blown Office 365. But it is a great way to get started doing development. We also provide you with two options for doing development. One is this tool that we've introduced called Microsoft NAPA. It is actually an app for SharePoint itself that installs into your SharePoint site, and it's basically a browser-based IDE for creating simple SharePoint apps and deploying them to your developer site. And so you can actually start developing in Office 365 for Office 365. Now, if you have a lot of experience with SharePoint or web development, you're probably going to be wanting to get started with Visual Studio. And so we actually have the Microsoft Office Developer Tools. They're currently in Preview 2 on the Web Platform Installer. And if you can go get those and install them into Visual Studio 2012, that's a great way to get started with development. And I'll show you that in action in just a moment. So when you're building UI for a SharePoint app, there are typically three entry points that you want to build or you want to consider using for your app. One is the concept of a full page app, another is the app part, and the other is a UI command extension. And I'll walk into some of the examples of it. So we showed the AdLib PDF publisher earlier in the talk, and it's an example of a full page app. It really took over your entire screen, of your entire browser window, and created its own custom branded, custom experience. When you look at this screenshot, you don't really think of it as being SharePoint as much as you think of it as being that third party company's website. The one part of this app that really does feel like the look and feel of SharePoint is the top bar. And that top bar is what we call the Chrome control. It can be easily added to your website, to your app, via a simple JavaScript. And what it does is it provides your users with a sense of the navigation that they're in an app that was related to a particular SharePoint site, and they have the ability to navigate backward to where they came from. It also provides a UI for getting help and for providing settings for that page. Another common UI pattern is the app part. And as I demonstrated earlier with the world clock, is you can actually create this iframe content that can be hosted inside of a site page on a SharePoint site. And for the most part, this is it can have some simple interaction with SharePoint, or you can actually provide it with some options and some configuration details that you can actually go into the SharePoint UI to configure it, just like you configure a client web part. Finally, I showed you briefly with the AdLib publisher the idea of adding UI commands. And so you can actually add your own tabs to the ribbon, you can add your own items to the ribbon, and you can add menu items anywhere in SharePoint that there is a context menu, especially ones that are associated with a document. When a user clicks on those, you'll get the context that they came from. So if it was a particular library, that'll be passed along. If it was a particular item, that will be passed along so that your web page can actually go and handle that and do the custom processing. So now that we've talked a little bit about the different app shapes and the different entry points that you would build for your app, I want to give you an idea of how an app is constructed. Now, Office and SharePoint have built what we built a common model around apps. And so you'll find that if you keep this picture in mind, if you keep this picture in mind, then you'll guess the right things for both Office and SharePoint when you think about these. So think about it as I have a web page that is surfacing content and is having some limited access to the thing that is working against, whether it be SharePoint, whether it be a Word document, whether it be an Excel document. And then I have an XML file, which is typically an app manifest, that tells the host application, whether it's SharePoint, Office, or Exchange, what access that app requires and how to go and start the interaction with it. And by taking these two very simple and fundamental concepts and putting them together, we've actually created a lot of powerful opportunities for apps. So now that you've got a little bit of a foundation, I'll go to Visual Studio and show you the creation of a first app. So this is VS 2012 with the Microsoft Office Developer Tools installed. And I go to the new project dialog, and I'll see that we've made a quick change to the new project dialog, such that Office and SharePoint are now one node. And you can see that you can choose to create an app for Office, or you can create an app for SharePoint. And so I'm going to create a Flickr app. Whoops, I must have done that one before. Let's do that. And so what this application is going to do is it's going to go query SharePoint for my identity, and then it's going to go query Flickr for photos of me on the internet. So this should be entertaining. And so first you'll see that I've left the name as Flickr app 2. The second thing it asks me is for the SharePoint site that I want to do my debugging against. This is the developer site that I was referring to earlier, so library.sharepoint.com. And I'm just going to validate it, make sure that the connection is live. And then I'm going to choose where I want my app hosted. And for right now, I'm just going to choose SharePoint hosted, and I'll get back to the other options in a moment. So what this is doing is it is creating a single project, which is your SharePoint app project. And at first, it may look like a SharePoint project and it has features and packages node. But if you look at the rest of the file, it really feels like it's a web development. You have app.css for the style sheets. You have an icon that you can expose. It's not hovering. An icon that you can show in the home site. The pages. You have an ASPX page that has a simple message in it that says initializing. And then you have a script file, app.js, that actually does some of the processing. And in this app.js file, what it does is it reaches out to the SharePoint site that it's hosted on and gets the client context. Oops. I apologize. Then what it does is it calls into SharePoint to get the username. And on success of that, it actually will add a message that says hello and then my username. Well, that's pretty boring, so I wanted to actually go and make that mashup happen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to drag in some code that will call get Flickr data with my username, and then I'm actually going to add a function. And what this does is it goes and gets Flickr data, calls into the web service in JSON, passes in my username, and then outputs some image strings with all of the content. And so that was it. That was creating a simple SharePoint app. And so now I'm going to hit F5. And what it's going to do is it's going to package all those artifacts up into an app package. This is simply a zip file that SharePoint knows how to understand and read. And it's now deploying to that Office 365 developer site that's hosted in the cloud. I'm going to log in, and it's going to take me directly to the page that I had. And here you can see that because I'm logged into SharePoint, it knew who I was, and it was able to go to Flickr and find some photos of me taking photos of mountain goats in the Cascades. Now, so this is a pretty simple app, but it actually shows you something really powerful, that with a few lines of code, you can actually use the identity of SharePoint. And I didn't do any coding that was really felt like it was SharePoint in depth. For the most of the part, we've tried to abstract as much of the SharePointedness away from you as possible so that you can feel like you're just doing web development. And you should see this as it come through over and over again as you start doing SharePoint develop or SharePoint app development. All right, so now I'm going to let that retract. So now, I talked a little bit before about some of the hosting model. Well, I glossed over the hosting models in that dropdown, and so now I want to explain what that means. So I talked about how the app model allows isolation. And one of the ways it does that is it clearly delineates what kinds of things can be hosted on SharePoint versus hosted on a web server. So only declarative artifacts can really live on SharePoint. So these are things like the list XML, the workflows, and business connectivity services. As you saw in the previous example, we allow for HTML, JavaScript, and even some ASPX pages. The key thing here, the key surprising thing for a lot of folks who have SharePoint development is there's no server code allowed, even in the ASPX pages, to be hosted on SharePoint itself. If you want to be able to write custom server code, either because there's business logic that you don't want exposed in JavaScript, or you want to be able to handle events on SharePoint, like the app itself being installed or uninstalled when there is no user present, then you're going to have to use your own web server to go and support that. And so you can host web pages as well as services that that SharePoint can call into. And SharePoint provides a mechanism of OAuth as a way of establishing trust between that web server and the SharePoint app. It's a little bit complex to think about OAuth at first, but luckily the tools actually set up this up for you all on their own, so you don't really need to worry about that until you get really deep into the programming. So in that dropdown that I had, it gave me three options: SharePoint hosted, auto hosted, and provider hosted. And the thing to think about with these different hosting options are, do you need server code? If you don't, then SharePoint hosted is really the way to go. This is the most flexible hosting option you have because you can install it on any SharePoint site that allows for apps, whether it be on-premises or in Office 365 in the cloud. And so if you can keep your artifacts to the declarative and HTML5 JavaScript, then this is definitely the option that you want to go. But a lot of solutions we think are going to require some amount of server code. And if you have your own website that you want to integrate into SharePoint somehow, you may be bringing a lot of existing code already. And so for that model, we actually provide you with two options. One is a do-it-yourself option, which we call provider-hosted, where you say, I'm going to provide my own web server. It could be IIS, it could be Azure, it could be Apache, it could be anything that serves up web pages. Or if I don't want to have to worry about the success of my app taking down my website, what I can do is I can use this functionality that Office and Azure have partnered together to build called auto-hosting. What auto-hosting does is when I install the app as an end user and install the app into a SharePoint site, SharePoint will actually go off to Azure and say, here's a web deploy, here's this web project, go and create an instance of Windows Azure websites and SQL Azure for just this site and install it there. And so if my app becomes an overnight success and gets installed into a million different SharePoint sites, I don't have to worry, because every time somebody installs that, Windows Azure is going to spin up a new instance of Windows Azure websites to host that. I also don't have to worry about data getting across from one app install to another, because those instances are isolated from each other. And so we expect that we'll get a lot of people, especially developers who are trying to make money in the marketplace, leveraging this auto-hosting feature that is being provided. There is a bit of one drawback here, which is it currently is only supported in Office 365. So if you're doing an on-premises installation, you're going to have only installation, then you're going to want to be using the provider-hosted model. And there's some good tricks for getting that set up that we'll probably get to, well, actually, that you'll get to as time progresses. So okay, so now I showed you a SharePoint-hosted app. Now I'm going to show you a auto-hosted app so you can kind of get a feel for what the differences are. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up an existing app that's already been created. And you'll see that that split that I showed you in the slides is reflected in the project structure. The artifacts that go to SharePoint are in the app project. And that means it's just that XML manifest file and the icon. The rest of this solution is just a standard web project. And this web project knows very little about SharePoint. There are some things in the app code that help me with the OAuth, and this is actually a file that we provide in our templates. But the rest of this, the rest of this web project is actually pretty much standard web programming. Now, I'm going to F5 this app so you get a sense and a feel for what it does. And basically, it was written by some of my team members who are wanting to create an internal swap meet. So think about it as like an internal eBay or marketplace for selling goods. And so I launched the app, and I'll get prompted to trust it because it accesses information on the site. And so I trust it. And then you can see that we have this simple swap meet dashboard. And the people who are working on this really love stuffed animals, and I thought it would be fun. So here I can go and buy a stuffed animal, the lovely unicorn, and say, I want it. And then I can just put in my email address. And I can send off an email to go and purchase it. Now, the nice thing is this app also still has a concept of identity. So it knows that my name, and it knows that I'm logged into SharePoint. So it's making sure that this app is only available to perhaps people who have access to that SharePoint site in case you didn't want it to be available to all of the people in a particular organization. So that's a simple auto-hosted app that shows you some integration with SharePoint. I'm going to switch back. So now that you've seen that, now I want to talk about continuous integration. How many folks in this room have tried to set up continuous integration for SharePoint solutions in the past? Okay, just a couple. We actually have a really good white paper out on MSDN on how to do this. One of the difficulties, though, is that it requires about 4 or 5 hours worth of time to go and set it up. I have about 20 minutes left in this presentation, and I'm hoping to have some time for Q&A. So I'm going to show you how we can get it done a lot faster with this new app model. So the benefits of continuous integration, I hope a lot of you guys are familiar with, but just for consistency, I'll repeat that. Consistent, repeatable builds. Not having them coming off of some developer's machine means that if a developer's machine fails, you're not left without a build. You have a process that you know how to go and do those builds. Capability to add official versions so that you know when people are logging bugs against a particular version that where to go and look for it. You have that consistency over and over of being able to produce those builds. Inconsistent developer environments. So often with SharePoint solutions, developers will spend a day or two getting their environment just the way they want it so that they can hit F5 and debug and iterate on that cycle. And then they take that solution to another person's machine and, oh, this magic configuration thing didn't happen and this magic configuration thing didn't happen. Oh, so that SharePoint site, the SharePoint solution doesn't work. With continuous integration, we actually help make sure that a lot of those specific environmental things get pushed out of the system. And it also helps with better team collaboration through communication around the builds, what's happening, what's checked in, what's not checked in, what's failing the tests, and allowing people to create automated testing and deployment of these solutions. So I was talking about a little bit in the beginning of the slide. It took 4 or 5 hours to go and set that up. The good news is, today I'm actually being able to show you that We now, as of this week, have support in Team Foundation Service for building and continuous integration of SharePoint apps with automated builds, automated testing, and automated deployment. And so I'm going to switch to a demo. So the first thing I'm going to do is going back to my swap meet application is I'm just going to go and write a trivial unit test to prove that this is working. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a new project, go to the test tab, and add a unit test project. And I've already, and what this test method will do is it's going to add some of emails to the to line and the CC line, and then it's going to validate that that's the email from the CC line actually made it into the mail message. And so I'm just going to make sure I have all the right references and all the right usings when for the code that I pasted. And so now in good TDD style, I'm actually going to go run my test and have it fail, hopefully. So I see that the test method that I wrote failed. And I can see that the assertion that I was looking at was false. And so obviously the CC line hasn't been added. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go do a GoTo definition on the emailer and look for some code that I would want to write to make that happen. And as it happens, it looks like the code that I wanted was already there. So what I'm just going to do is I'm going to go uncommented out. Now, I'm going to go run my tests again and see if I've actually gone and fixed the bug that I had. Perfect. All right. So now that I have my app, I have my tests, now I need to go and start thinking about checking this into Team Foundation Service and creating my build process. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and add the solution to source code control. And now I'm going to go and bring up my source code control explorer. And you can see under the ALM summit that I'm ready to go and check in the swap meet. But the other things that you'll see here is that I have build process templates and deploy scripts. So, oops. Let's see. So just this morning, we published these Office and SharePoint 2013 continuous integration scripts up to CodePlex for you guys to go and use. Right now, we support SharePoint hosted apps and auto hosted apps, and they're built specifically for the preview 2 release of our tools. But over time, we're going to build out to this to have the full support across all the different SharePoint Office solutions and app types to make sure that it's easy for you guys to set up the continuous integration. So what I've done is I basically downloaded these files, and then I checked them into TFS. The other thing that I went and did in the deploy scripts is I went and updated this parameters file so that it has my username and password for my Office 365 developer site. So I'm going to be able to deploy the app to the developer site. All right, so now that that's done, what I'm going to go do is I'm going to go check in all of these changes. And I want to make sure I have all the changes. Promote them. And I'm going to check in all of these changes. All right, so now that these are in TFS, what I want to go and do is I want to go and set up the automated build. So I'm going to go create a new build definition. And I'm going to call it swap meet 3. The trigger. Well, if I was setting up continuous integration, I would have checked this box to build after each check-in. I could do a rolling build, which accumulates a bunch of different fixes and builds them all at once. I could do a gated check-in, which prevents bad code or tests or code that's going to fail tests to get checked in. Or I could create a nightly build. Just so that I can make this demo quick, I'm going to do the manual integration so that it goes and happens quickly. Workspace, it's just going to look at my ALM Summit directory. For build defaults, I am using the hosted build controller up in the Team Foundation service. And for the process template, this is where you have to go in and choose a process template that that you just downloaded from CodePlex. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go create a new one that is based on the Office Tools app template that I downloaded off of CodePlex. And I'm going to give it a name. And now I can go and look at the build process that was defined for me default. So it's going to build all my solution. It's going to run my tests in x86, which is probably fine. And then there's this option under miscellaneous. And this is the deployment script. And depending on what type of app that you've created, you choose a different deployment script. For right now, we'll choose the SharePoint app one and choose the SharePoint app deploy. Now I'm going to go save that. And now it appears in team build in my builds list. And so I can just go right-click, queue new build. I'm going to give it a high priority so that it happens straight away. And now we can go and watch the build process. So the Team Foundation server, the build service, which is hosted up in the cloud, I don't have any of this on my local machine. The only thing that's on my local machine is Visual Studio, is going to pick up this build request, and it's going to go and run with it. And hopefully just a second. So what I'm going to do is actually, just while we wait for it to pick up the build, I'm going to talk a little bit about getting started with the Team Foundation service. So what I did to set this up beforehand was I went to tfs.visualstudio.com and I signed up for a Team Foundation service account. I then went and found the deployment scripts that were on this Office SharePoint continuous integration site on CodePlex, pulled them down, checked them in. You saw how I modified the build process in the template, and then I created my app and wrote some tests and checked them in. So now let's see if this actually has started. All right, so now it seems to have started. And this is one of the things is like when you're queuing these builds, you don't often have to think about them having to start instantaneously. It's more of those things where you typically just wait for the email that gives you the result. And so what it's doing is it's taking the check-in that I had, it's going and compiling it with MS Build, in the hosted team build. Everything should have built fine. It gives me a minor warning about C# error just because there's actually no C# code file in our app projects, but that's normal and expected. Then it's going to run the tests. And now what it's doing is deploying them to library.sharepoint.com. And so what this has done is the build process has gone and created that app package. That app package has gone up to SharePoint. It's getting taken apart by SharePoint. And SharePoint's now going to Windows Azure and saying, can you go and create this website for me? And Windows Azure is going to be processing that. And then in a few minutes, depends. It sometimes can take 45 seconds, sometimes takes a minute and a half. You'll actually have that new site deployed. So what it detected was there was actually a previous install. The previous install was the one that I'd used from the debugging instance. So it's uninstalling that, and then it's going to go install that. Let me see if I... So there, the operation completed, and the Swap Meet Bay app is installed. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to my team site, or developer site, hit refresh just to make sure that it's got the latest version of everything. And I can see the Swap Meet app is there. When I go and click on it, it's going to go and launch it. I'm going to get redirected to it. And there you go. You see that the app is running and was deployed via TFS. Now, the other thing that I'll point out here is that the URL of this is 0365apps.net. This is not hosted on my local site or anywhere. This is actually hosted in a Windows Azure website for that is specific to SharePoint. And this GUID is what one of the things that keeps it to be unique. So you can understand how there's like a unique one of these websites for each app that gets installed. All right. So in summary, I think that there's never been a better time for people to do SharePoint development. We now have the capability of developing against an Office 365 developer site, or if you're somewhere operating somewhere on premises where you don't have access to the cloud, you could still set up one SharePoint box for all your developers to develop against. I didn't show you much that was specific to SharePoint in this talk because we're really making SharePoint development more about using your web development skills. And so if you're familiar with HTML, JavaScript, web programming, you should feel at home with the new app model for SharePoint. There's a great opportunity for developers to sell apps in the Office Store, as well as for end users to go and consume them. If you're working for a large organization, you may create your own apps for internal usage and deploy them just to that app catalog that I showed you earlier. And so if your IT department can go and create them and can go and manage them through there. And finally, I showed that setting up continuous integration for Team Foundation Service and SharePoint apps is something that you can do in 10 minutes. So I think that there's a I'd like to see more people giving that a try and letting us know how it goes. So some resources that you guys will probably want to make use of, dev.office.com is the place that we're putting all the content for getting started with Office development, especially Office and SharePoint. And that's the easiest way to go and get that subscription for an Office 365 developer site. Our developer tools, you can download them for here, or you can search for them on the web platform installer. The continuous integration scripts are available. And if you want to get to read the blog where most of our team and the Office team posts about development of apps, the Apps for Office blog is a great resource. So that's what I had. If you guys have any questions, feel free to ask. And I'll repeat the question just so that everybody can hear. So.
Those your CI scripts that you know at CodePlex?
Yes.
So
are the scripts on CodePlex going to be backported to support 2010? Yes, they are. We actually have, they are as the support for it allows us to do it. So we haven't finished that completely, but we are started work on it already.
Okay.
Any more questions? Well, that's great. Well. My name is Sean Labrie. My email is up there, seanla@microsoft.com, if you have any questions. I'll also be in the expo hall after this, so thank you.